Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, and credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, everybody. Superfan Giovanni here. The gang and the lackeys have the week off. They'll be back on Tuesday, August 28th with a brand new episode. Until then, I'm picking out some best of from the archive. Today I've selected the Adam Carolla Show episode 1913 featuring Norm MacDonald. Originally aired on September 28th, 2016, Adam opens the show with Norm MacDonald in the studio for a one-on-one chat, and Norm is making his second appearance on The Adam Carolla Show. In the first half of the show, Adam and Norm discuss Paul Newman, the death of Charles Rocket, and the presidential debates. Norm proves to be a fantastic guest, especially in the one-on-one format, but on air with Adam, he's just the best. This episode has been aired as best of before, but it's one of my all-time favorites and I couldn't resist. If you'd like to hear Norm's other appearance on the podcast, subscribe to Podcast One Premium, and you get access to the entire archive.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Norm MacDonald. And now, a guy who doesn't drive, being interviewed by a guy who just spent $4.4 million on a Porsche. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Porsche. By the way, I've been corrected by snobs in the past. Norm MacDonald
Porsche
in studio.
Rossi.
Yeah, good to see you, my friend.
You too, pal. Yeah, how the fuck do you get $4.4 million? Where's that going? How the fuck do you get that?
You got to blow a lot of dudes. No, here's how you get it. You sell a whole bunch of your other cars that you bought over the course of the last decade.
Right, right.
So that you can raise the money for the one car. So it's like sell five or six cars to raise some of the money for the one car.
So is this like you love this car?
I did a documentary about Paul Newman racing, and this is the car he drove at Le Mans, so which
Wait,
is a big deal.
Did you meet Paul Newman?
No.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, sad, right?
He invited me to, because I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
And that was my charity, right? And so I won $500,000. And
Hole in the Wall Gang?
Hole in the Wall Gang.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell them, so they just got a check for...
$500,000.
$500,000.
Should have got a million.
So then, yeah.
I want to get into that.
So then they keep sending me fucking, they want more money. Like they think
it's like an alumni association. Yeah,
they think I'm a guy with $500,000 every fucking year. So I'm like, no, I don't have $500,000.
Yeah, this Norm MacDonald, he must be some sort of shipping magnet or something.
Exactly.
I've never heard of him, but he evidently has very deep pockets and loves homeless children. So we should just keep hitting him up for money.
That's exactly it. He was going to meet me. So he's my hero. Kind of. I love
everything. Newman's your hero?
Well, I love all his movies and I love how he's conducted his life.
Oh, boy, do I have a documentary for you.
Really?
Yeah.
The one you made?
Yeah, it's all about his racing life.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, yeah, I love that. I don't know how old he was, but he was 40 or something. You know, he was when he started racing.
And yeah,
he
became late 40s.
Became one of the best
four-time
amateur
national
drivers.
Champion.
Amazing.
I got two of his championship cars 100 feet from here.
And he's, by all evidence, he was monogamous with Joanne Woodward. You know, he wasn't a player. When he was the most handsome guy ever, you know what I mean?
You know what's weird I just thought about, Norm? I think you might appreciate this conceptually. We appreciate two dudes. We appreciate the guy who's been faithful to his wife for 47 years and never looked the other way with all the trappings of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And we then thus also worship at the altar of the guy who fucked everything that wasn't nailed down.
Like, Warren
boy, that
Day
guy
here.
Was serious cocksman. I mean, boy, he fucked everyone. We don't, but when someone goes, he fucked like eight chicks over the course of 40 years, we go, I don't know about him.
Well, you know, it's like if a guy.
We like, it's feast or famine in the fucking department.
It's like if a guy,
one chick or 180.
If a guy gets divorced twice, he's kind of a loser. But
right.
If he gets divorced nine times, he's a character.
Oh,
you know?
Ladies' man. Yeah. Hide the daughters when he comes into town.
I met Mickey Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was the biggest star in the world, and he was married.
Norm's eating, by the way,
I'm sorry.
If anyone wants to know what's going on.
So he was married to, I don't know, but it was like Ava Gardner, like seven beautiful women, the biggest women, most beautiful women in Hollywood. So in his head, he still thought he could get these women, you know.
It works on chicks. It doesn't work on dudes.
Oh, no.
What I'm saying
you mean
is,
like B. Arthur or something.
Yeah, like if I found out that Lorenzo Lamas Jr. was banging B. Arthur 10 years ago, I wouldn't go, well, fuck, give me a piece of that shit. I'd go, he's got a mental condition.
Women,
when they find out that Sophia Loren is sucking off this fat producer, then they go, oh, must be good enough for me. You see how it works?
Did Sophia Loren suck off a fat producer?
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
How do you think we know her name?
My Lord God.
No, I don't know for sure.
But you're allowed on this show to just slander
her. We can say
anybody.
What we want. Well, no, I'm not. Look, she's a dear friend. Sophie's a dear friend. No, I don't know her background. All I can say for sure is this, that it works this way with women. If there's one dude who beds a Kardashian and a Paris Hilton, he'll then get to, and a Lindsay Lohan, he'll get to mow through other Hollywood hot chicks.
Like David Spade is that guy.
Yeah, David Spade is that guy.
And I would say he's more, because Warren Beatty was always the gold standard, but Spade doesn't have the looks of Warren Beatty.
He's the aw shucks rapist.
Rapist?
Well, I don't know why you brought up rapist.
My Lord.
No, what I'm saying is Spade has quietly mowed through the entire bevy of blondes in this town, but That's he true. Does it in a sort of unassuming way.
Yeah, Spade is an interesting character because he's outside of Hollywood. He makes fun of it, and yet he's deeply inside of Hollywood.
Balls deep, a lot.
Yeah,
many would argue. No,
but
it,
you know he'll be on
have...
red carpets, and like, I went out with him one time. He's like, "Let's go to a bar." We go to a fucking bar, and then you know people let us in, which is horrible. You know, like past everybody, you know? Let those guys in.
Yeah, there goes Spade and his bodyguards. His haggard bodyguard.
He's haggard, is right. So I've never seen a picture of George Harrison not haggard.
He's somewhere, he's be-haggard. He's like beleaguered and haggard. Like he's haggard with a beleaguered
thought. Be-haggard?
Yeah. How about the fact that George Harrison, hold on, we got to get back to this.
Yeah.
How about the fact that he just got done beating cancer and a mad person broke into his estate and stabbed him repeatedly?
I forgot about that. Jesus Christ, that's bad luck.
Did anyone think that maybe hanging with the Dalai Lama isn't what it's cracked up to be, like in terms of karma?
How do you get into those? Like, remember that guy was going to jump over and to rape Steven Spielberg? And,
right. Duct tape his mouth. I don't know why you're so fixated on rape, but continue. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just playing out here, baby.
It seems easier. It's that kind of thing where it's like, what happened? Well, George Clooney was in Toronto shooting for 3 weeks, and a woman moved into his house. It's like... It seems a little casual, considering there's walls and security cameras
I know.
And alarm systems. But you see
Letterman would come home, and there'd be a lady that thought he was his wife.
Waiting in bed.
And
he only fucked her twice.
Oh, my Lord. I have a stalker. Get this. My stalker.
You have a stalker.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second.
68-year-old lady.
I want to plug, and I want to get back.
All right. I'll eat an almond.
Eat an almond. Eat a almond. Based on a true story, a memoir. It's Norm's book. It's available now on Amazon. You can bookmark it at adamcarolla.com and put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship. And I see nominated for Pulitzer Prize. Is that for this book?
For the book, yeah.
Wow. Good on you, man.
Yeah, man.
God bless you.
I tried to write a good book.
The book was really good. It was interesting.
Wait, you read it?
Yeah. And
really?
I don't even know how to read.
That's great.
I went home last night and I read it because, and it started off with a very interesting statement, which is, this is based on true events, yeah. But if you really try to dissect what a true event is, it's only as you remember it. Anyway, yeah. And if you hang around with Kimmel long enough and you did enough episodes of The Man Show and you drank enough beer, he'll have a different version of almost every story that I'm locked off on and
vice
versa.
And when you're in the story and you know it's false, but the other guy, he goes, you caught a big fish. You go, I've never fished in my life. He's convinced you caught a fucking big fish in his stupid head.
So the story is whimsical, but there's many parts of it that are based in truth growing up where you did in Canada on a farm and things like that. But very funny, a very good read.
Oh, thanks.
So, and nominated for Pulitzer Prize. So how bad can it be?
No, it's not bad.
All right, so you and David Spade are walking into a bar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was saying that?
Yeah.
So we go into the bar. So it's packed with people, you know? And I don't like a lot of people, man. And then you get a little fucking plastic drink, and you drink it, and then Spade goes, let's get out of here. And I'm like, what? And I don't even want to be there. And, you know, you're an inch from somebody's face. And so then we go to another bar. He does the exact same thing.
Right.
Let's get out of here. So he just goes places and exits.
But I think there's a power. I think there's a certain power in leaving.
Yeah, I guess there is.
Yeah,
but with women, he plays the long game. Like he's always texting them. You know, he doesn't bed them the night he meets them.
Mm-mm.
Like a year later.
Right.
But he's got so many on
his. Fucks them in the bathroom. Yeah, but not on a bed. Never on a bed.
Wait, no.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm
reading between the lines.
I can't talk about Dave. Now it's going to sound like I'm saying mad about Dave.
No. What he does. Is he quietly, like, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. If you had a list of the famous coxmen of the town with the Warren Beattys of the world and the Wilt Chamberlains and stuff like that, somewhere in the 13th spot would be David Spade.
Absolutely.
And everyone would go, how do you get on this list? A cute little blonde guy?
I'd put him way farther up than that. Way farther up. I'd put him maybe number one.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In terms of sheer numbers.
Quietly goes about his business.
Yes, he does. And,
until we start talking about it.
I know, we shouldn't. But he's very self-deprecating about it. But he also, you know, he knows everything that a young girl knows. A beautiful 20-year-old. He can talk to them about keeping up with the Kardashians and, you know, whatever the hell.
Right.
And then, you know, if I try to talk to a young girl, I go... You ever watch Matlock? You know, it wouldn't work. But he has the same exact interest that they do.
Yeah.
So it really works, you know.
Yeah, my problem is I'm too technical. I like cars and building.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always trouble. Like, it's always, well, Newman's, he ran in the Trans Am series, but it was really a 300ZX with a turbo and a V6 on it. So it was the Trans Am series, but it was not a Pontiac Trans Am. And I can see her
and the girl
stabbing
still
herself.
There?
No, she's attempting to kill herself by falling on her mascara pen.
Oh, God. Stabbing yourself is a certain type of suicide.
Yeah, it
and
is.
I know a person that did it, and Charles Rocket did it.
Well, hold on a second. We talking about Artie Lang?
Oh, I forgot about Artie Lang.
Yeah.
No, a friend of mine, when I started in Canada, he killed himself, much like Charles Rocket. He went outside and stabbed himself naked, and Charles Rocket did that in the snow. It's a very different...
Who's Charles Rocket?
He was the update host that got fired for saying fuck on the air.
What year was that?
You remember that?
Evidently no, because I'm asking who he was.
Yeah,
but
No,
before you.
Yeah, he was pretty famous. Like, they were trying to make him a Chevy Chase.
And Dennis, before Dennis, what?
Before Dennis, he was
what
with, like...
What year are we talking about?
Oh, God, the cast was like Denny Dillon and I think Gilbert Gottfried.
80, 81, and then his death was in 05.
He stabbed himself.
Yeah. What does it say about his death?
He slit his own throat. Jesus in a field
Christ,
near his
he
home.
Slit his own throat.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, there's something, you know, you would think if you took yourself out, you'd want to do it like you'd think of the easiest way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the most painful.
Well, for me, it's a 1-2 punch. Like, yeah. For me, it's I don't want to experience pain.
Yeah.
And I'm lazy.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to hike to the top of a suspension bridge, you know right. what I mean, or something like that.
So what would you do then?
I got to go
pills
and booze. I'd probably consult Dr. Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to, here's what I'm looking for, Drew. I don't want to go all Terry Schiavo.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You don't want to fail, yeah.
I don't want to spend the next 20 years with a load in my pants hooked up to a respirator.
Jesus Christ. There was a guy that was on Seinfeld. Somebody will look this up, I'm sure. But there's an audio of him phoning 911. He tried to kill himself. He shot himself in the head, and he lived. And he phones 911, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm here. I was going to get my foot amputated tomorrow because he had
diabetes.
Mm-hmm. So he says, "I decided to kill myself, but I'm alive, and I shit my pants."
He worked that into the.
So
I guess it's a nice courtesy heads up to the ambulance guys, right?
Well, the cops come.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a 20-minute, they stay on the line.
Daniel
Von Bargen, who played
George's boss.
George's boss for the Seinfeldian.
Wow. You know a lot about this stuff,
Norm. Well, it was just a thing. But he later died. But but anyways, yeah. And then the cops come and they're going in. They're going, "Oh, where's the gun? Where's the gun?" He's like, "Oh, no, it's over there." Like,
yeah.
I'm no threat.
So Norm, I was watching you and Regis.
Regis?
Wasn't
it? Oh, the millionaire thing.
Yeah, and I've had this happen on a much smaller scale where you've done the stupid thing. For me, it was like Jeff Foxworthy. I was trying to be smarter than a zygote. And you give your answer, and they go, "Are you sure?" And you go, "Why?" Yeah. And they go, "Because," and then it's a celebrity thing, so they may be helping you out.
That's
because
what, yeah.
Once you lock it in, it's final, and you go, "Oh, well, hold on. Maybe it's Cape Horn. Is it Cape Horn that I'm talking about? Maybe it's not the Marianas Trench." And then you go, "Okay, if you're sure." And you go, "Well, I was, but now I'm not." Regis, God, he fucking gaslit you.
No, he didn't. What happened was I thought he knew the answers. Or I thought, even if he doesn't know the answers, he's real smart. But it turns out he doesn't know any of the answers. He doesn't know anything.
No.
So, but what happened was, during the break.
But this is for the $1 million.
Yeah, I know. But right before the $1 million question, Regis said, "We got to take some time off because Notre Dame's playing. That's his team."
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to watch it, and I had all this money on it. So he's like, "How much money do you have on it?" So I told him. He's like, "What?" So he's like, "Are you just," because I had guessed.
How much money did he have on it?
I had money on it. He was a
how
fan.
How much did you have on it?
A lot.
What do you think? Ballpark.
So he was worried. What?
Ballpark.
I don't know. 50? 50?
50,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was pretty, into it. And
you wanted to know.
I wanted to know. So right. So then when he came, and I had just guessed on an answer for 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was a question about, here was the question. Who wrote "O Calcutta" with John Lennon?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything about musicals. There was four answers. One of them was Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, "O Calcutta," it sounds like a depressing fucking bleak thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I ever heard about Calcutta, right?
Sure.
But just shit in the street.
Right.
Like human shit.
Human shit, yeah.
So I say, well, Beckett used to write about human shit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I guessed. So he knew I guessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it fast, like, "Final answer," because I didn't want him to stop.
Right.
And so then we go on the break, and he realizes I'm a compulsive gambler. So then when we get back, he wants to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he was trying to do. And actually, if I had answered the $1 million, it would have been better for the show. Because they have an insurance policy that if someone wins the million, the insurance company pays.
Right.
So the $500,000 is the worst thing that could happen to them.
Right, because it's the maximum amount they have to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting. Yeah, what people don't realize is if you want to do some sort of contest, like you put the piece of plywood in front of the hockey goal and it's got the little cutout that's as big as a mousetrap, and the guy's going to hit it from the blue line if it goes through, and you win $1 million, that's insured.
Yes, it is. Right.
So the hockey, whoever owns the team doesn't pay. They pay some underwriter $15,000 who does a bunch of calculations, and they'll pay the $1 million
yeah.
if on the off chance the puck goes through and hits the net.
Yeah, they know Those guys, those underwriters or whatever they're called, are fascinating. It's like the character that Edward G. Robinson played in Double Indemnity, where he does a great speech where he goes, death by, I can't do it. Edward G. Robinson. But he's like, listen, because the guy died from jumping off a train. He goes, listen, death by jumping off a bridge, 14%. Death by, and he had all the deaths, you know, what the percentage was. He goes, death by jumping off a train, 0%.
Anchoring SNL's news and slitting your throat, less than 0%. So you go on Letterman, you knock it out of the ballpark, you break down in tears, then you on SNL as well and hit a home run. Is there a thing?
Same year.
Yeah. Yes. Is there a thing with you? So, Norm, I'm always trying to figure this out with you. On one hand, you're a little reclusive. You got a little Howard Hughes in you. Well, mad genius kind of a thing.
Yeah, but you got the Howard Hughes where you're buying the $4 million Porsche.
On the other hand,
the better side of Howard Hughes.
You also have the part where you clean up, you pull it together.
Take a shave.
And you go out there and hit a home run.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes I can do that.
So, why not do that all the time?
I don't know.
Because you have that gear. It's a gear you can go into.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Jan Michael Vincent can find that gear on his transmission. Damn. Sorry for the car metaphor. But I'm saying you find that gear.
Why did you say Jan Michael Vincent?
Well, I'm thinking of a guy who really can't clean up, straighten up, get a shave, put on a suit, and get out there and hit a home run and do something that you do, like a stand-up set with the skill that it takes, or go on Saturday Night Live and hit a home run. And that department, I don't think that's within his grasp.
But he was the most handsome guy in the world.
Yes.
And then booze, it shows you what booze can do. You know, it took away his looks.
Right.
But it's strange you said that, because I follow him on Twitter, and then I DM'd him, and then this other guy goes, it's not him. Because, like, on that, he's real, like, belligerent on his Twitter. He's like, fuck you, you cocksuckers. I got no, you know.
Yeah, he was a big star in the early 70s, and he was really just kind of known for, he was Patrick Swayze before Patrick Swayze was Patrick Swayze. It's like, if you were looking for a guy to take his shirt off in a movie, it would have been Jan Michael Vincent. And I don't mean all roided up and puffed up. I just mean a natural, great athletic physique and great look.
Nobody more handsome. Airwolf.
Right. That's
right. Mechanic.
World's greatest athlete.
Oh, the world's greatest athlete? What? No, that was Kurt Russell.
I think it was him. We got to figure out whether it was him or not. And then
I believe it was Kurt Russell. But
maybe
that was funny. You said that was one of the first movies I ever saw.
Hooper.
I was so excited.
Hooper.
He was in Hooper?
I think he was in Hooper, and I think he was in Big Wednesday, too, maybe.
I don't even know what that is.
Surfing
All I know
movie.
Is he was in The Mechanic with Charles Bronson.
Well, he was in Hooper with Burt Reynolds.
No, he wasn't.
What would it have sounded like if Jan Michael Vincent was asking Burt Reynolds about a stunt? What would Burt's advice be to Jan?
He called them gags.
Gags, that's right.
Yeah, that's what
he played ski in Hooper.
Yeah. What?
I'm blowing your mind. Because usually,
I've seen Hooper often.
By the way,
Brian Keith is brilliant in Hooper.
Yes, this is why we don't get laid and David Spade does. Because when you're talking to a hot 23-year-old who just moved here from Indiana, and you're talking to her about Jan Michael Vincent, and Brian Keith.
Never act your age.
Committed suicide.
No, he didn't. Now I think he did.
Yeah. Now we'll look up that one,
too. And I think also Marcus Welby.
World's greatest athlete. Yes, he was in World's Greatest Athlete.
Jan Michael Vincent was.
Yeah. See, you got Kurt Russell screwed up because he did all the Disney movies, but not the World's Greatest Athlete. Or maybe he was in it, but Jan was.
Was he in it? Can we find out if he was in it?
Brian Keith committed suicide.
Jeez. You know, there was a great movie, if you ever want to see a great movie, that's sort of forgotten. It's by David Lynch. And I'm not really a David Lynch guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand movies that are weird.
I'm with you.
But he made a movie that was straight out uncomplicated called The Straight Story, based on a guy who drove his lawnmower across the country to see his brother.
I remember that.
And it was an old guy named Richard Farnsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And so Richard Farnsworth played this role riddled with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't tell anyone. And he was up for the Academy Award. And if he had told anyone, he would have won the Academy Award.
Right.
For sure. And I remember seeing him on The Tonight Show, frail. And anyways, he went out. They called it because he was a stuntman before.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it the stuntman's death. You take a shotgun, you know, and with your toe, you press the gun.
Wow.
Trigger.
That's all we got.
And you don't want to burden your family. So he told no one in his family. And it's sort of nice.
I'd like to be burdened. I'd like to burden family members. That's the way I feel.
Well, you know, I have
maybe I'll go Thelma and Louise with that $4 million Porsche.
Yeah.
I'll just drive it right into the Grand Canyon.
Pretty, I don't know if you would, though.
That'd be a good way to go.
I have a living will, which is exactly what you're talking about. Like, what would you do in case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to think about it. And I said, don't pull the plug. Fuck it. Let me live for as long as possible, because maybe I'll wake up. I don't fucking know. Maybe I'll be conscious and I can hear you.
Yeah.
Because I know if I don't have a living will, everybody will just go, hey, what did you think Norm would want? And they go, he told me he'd want to die. Let's pull that plug and kill him. So you don't have to, you know, so you don't have to be a burden, which means your mother doesn't have to go and, miss her bridge game to touch your hand.
You don't want that, her stroking your hand instead of playing bridge. Norm, I want to tease this.
I wouldn't even get one plug. I'd like a series of plugs. If you have one plug, then you get a janitor with one of those big brooms.
Yeah.
He's sure to hit the plug.
I feel like one of my family members would be like, oh man, my phone needs to be charged. And someone else would go, hey, that machine's breathing for Adam right now. And they'd go, yeah, but I feel like we got a few minutes before he flatlines. Just let me get a quick charge in. And that's the way I would go.
And then I always think I'd hear, oops, you know what I mean? I always think I'd be conscious enough to hear for some reason.
I want to know.
You know, it's a really sad story. I looked at Michael Palin's Facebook page, and Terry Jones has dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Palin wrote a long article. See, this wouldn't work with a girl either.
No. Not this. Spade never brings this stuff up. He's talking about emojis and shit. Hey, so Norm, I'll tell you what I would like.
What about when Hillary said, I want to find out what you college students think of tuition in four emojis or less?
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
I want you to tell me what a day in the life of Norm MacDonald is. Now, hold on. I'm teasing here.
Gotcha.
I don't want the one where you have to go out to Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, October 7th through the 9th, or South Point Casino in Las Vegas, October 21st through the 23rd. I want to know what just an average, I'm at home on a Tuesday is. I want to know what time you wake up.
Uh-huh.
I want to know what you watch. I want to know what you eat for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
I want to know how you navigate this city without the use of an automobile or at least a license to operate one. I just want you to think about your average weekday at home, gambling, foibles, possible masturbation, the entire thing. All right. Let me tell you about Tommy John. Tommy John doesn't give an F. That's right. They give three Fs, not one. Three. Fabric. Fit. Function. Mm-hmm. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. These guys, it's a game changer. You do not go back. Once you get the Tommy John, there is no going back to the conventional underwear. Now you got a no wedgie guarantee. Comfortable, stay put waistbands. Luxurious, soft, feather light, moisture wicking, breathable fabric designed to move with you. No bunching or riding up. If you don't love your first pair, then you can get a refund. Oh, they do stuff for women's underpants as well. It's just the best. No swamp like conditions down there. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. It's an oasis of cool from Tommy John. What do you got, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. Norm MacDonald.
Wow.
Based on a true story. Pulitzer Prize. Nominated. Very good book. What is a day in the life for you, Norm?
Well, it's sort of, I don't know if it's coincidental, that you asked me that, because when you write an autobiography, that's where you have to sort of examine your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, which can be a terrifying endeavor. Or, but yeah, I found that my life was very mundane. But I haven't, you know, it's true I have a small world. But I now live in a community. And I have my mother who lives in the next building.
Mm-hmm. Are you in a condo?
Yes, I have a condo, and then my mother has a condo. And so she is, and she and I have very similar lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost like a couple.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you seeing anybody?
Yeah, my
mom. Your mom. Oh, okay. I should have been inferring that. Sorry.
I'm no,
such
a mom. I'm not
No, seeing, I hear what you're saying.
I'm not seeing anyone romantically.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I got my mother. And,
sure, yeah. No one has a mom.
I mean, is your mother alive?
Yeah, sadly.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Oh, my God. Come on.
I'm a dick.
No, you
she
love
doesn't
your
deserve
mother.
Me.
You love your mother. Oh, I've heard you talk about
She's
your mother.
All right.
I've heard you talk about your mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But my mother is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people say their mother's a saint, but my mother actually is. She judges no one, which is incredible. She's happy. Do you ever meet people that are super happy? Like, she will, without a trace of irony, come back. She never has any irony in her. She just, her eyes shine love. But she will come back and she'll go, Norm, I have the most amazing story. The funniest thing happened at the grocery store. I'm like, what happened? She's like, there was a woman in there. She bought a pineapple. And it was $1.49, but last week it was $1.19. I'm like, that's not a fucking story, you old bag.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point. But it made her all happy. I'm like, well, I'd trade places with you, even though.
I'm jealous of the happy people, and I'm jealous of these simple people who literally just sort of describe what's happening and then laugh like they'll go, look at that dog. And you'll go, yeah. And they'll go, it's up on its hind legs. And you go, and you think, I know I'm standing yeah. here and I'm watching what it's doing.
My
and it's
mother,
walking on a timeline. And you go, yes, that's what's
my
happening.
My mother reads things while we're driving in a car. She'll go like, Ed's Auto Shop.
Oh, like a sign.
That's angering, yeah. I go, what? What is it?
Are you, and I don't, please take this, and it's not even a put down. Are you too smart to be happy? Do you know too much? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like, there's
yes.
a part of you that just knows too much. You've seen too much. You've been around too many people. And it's just you, not to be happy, but I mean to be easily amused.
Well, you know, I don't want to do a joke for my act, but...
do it.
No, I do a joke like about retards or Down syndrome or whatever.
Yeah.
The R word.
Mm-hmm.
About how... everybody feels sorry for them, but yet they're the happiest people in the world, you know? So
yeah.
people are like, oh, look at those poor people. They don't understand the horror of life. That's the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
they'll probably die happy. There's no cure.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I think. When I see people with Down syndrome, there's a certain amount of envy that you have.
I have it with my dog.
Well, dogs, yeah.
I mean, my dog's Lord. Whole body wags when I come walking through the house.
It's
and
incredible.
It just couldn't be happier.
Or a dog also can throw up and then just be happy again. You know what I mean? Like, if you throw up, you go, oh, I got to lie in bed. Like, something might happen to me.
It's a good point.
Or you see a dog with three legs, he's not mourning his leg. He's
well,
going
also,
out in his life.
Dogs are, they're dogged, pardon the pun, because it's like, I eat soft shell crab, I get food poisoning, and then I decide I'm never eating soft shell crab again.
Yeah.
My dog eats a flip flop, throws up, and then decides he's got room for another flip flop.
Or he eats the digest.
Oh, he'll eat that, and then he'll eat some. He'll eat the next flip flop.
What is a flip flop? Oh, you mean a shoe.
A shoe. A right, shoe. Right. Sorry.
You thought I was making
fun of a nationality.
You got a big dog.
That's a 115-pound black lab.
What is it, a Newfoundland dog? Oh, black
no,
lab.
No, it's a black lab.
Oh,
he's a ton
I
of,
love that.
He's a sweet ton of dog.
God,
all right, so
I love
you
a
wake
lab.
What time do you what
I
time do you
lab.
Go to bed at? No, what time do you wake up in the morning?
It depends on when I go to bed, but I go to bed pretty late.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, because you know what
so you're done cuddling with your mom and it's lights out about what time?
My mom goes to bed early.
So it's back to the unit,
but
mom.
Remember, I
got to stay up and
yeah,
gamble.
Remember, I live in a different place than my mother.
That's not what I hear.
Sleep in a different bed.
That's not the way I heard it. But I may be wrong. Is there gambling? Is there daily gambling
like,
going on?
You have me like Norman Bates. No. No, the gambling is done. The gambling's
done.
Over. Yeah, I'm done with gambling.
How long's it been?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
So no more gambling.
Well, I don't know. Not for a while.
Were you able to quit cold turkey, or did you have to go to a program?
No. I just quit. But here's my big problem. Very good at selecting certain games. Like, for instance, I picked Rory McIlroy to win when he was
on golf.
You know, right. Probably 150-1.
Right.
I don't know what the odds were, but I have very good picks. So then I'll get a online account. Now, I think this is illegal. I'm not sure. But I'll get an online account and put $10,000 in it. Try to not spend that much.
Right.
So then I pick my pick that I really believe in, and $2,500, and it comes in. Now I have $12,500. Now I bet on every fucking thing.
Right.
You know? Now I bet, I don't know anything about baseball. I'm just betting it. So then eventually, of course, it comes.
So we got a guy who's been on hold for a million years, but I still want to hear the schedule.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm interested in you, Norm.
No, that's nice.
I'm fascinated. I think a lot of people are.
I'll tell you, moment by moment.
All right, hold on. Jake, 20, Detroit.
Hey, guys. Hey. Norm, just want to say a big, big fan. Oh. I saw you last April in Royal Oak, and you're amazing.
Oh, I love Royal Oak.
Royal Oak is great.
Have you done Royal Oak?
Yes. It's outside of Detroit.
So great. Yeah. Detroit, yeah, you drive through Detroit. It's a lot of fixer-uppers.
Yep.
And then you get to Royal Oak, which is really nice.
Beautiful theater.
Sorry, Jake.
Yes.
So my question is, in an interview with HuffPost Live, talking about when you hosted SNL, you said that you had an idea that you were going to just leave and not do the rest of the show after your monologue.
That was my idea.
You said that someone talked you out of it, and I was just wondering who that was that talked you out of it.
It was like there was three writers that I worked. I didn't use any of the writers from Saturday Night Live. Instead, I picked these three genius writers that used to write on Saturday Night Live. So we wrote the whole show, and so the writers really hated us anyway. But that was my idea. I was like, I'll just do the monologue and leave. And
it's a great idea.
And then I thought it would be really good for the show. You know,
get a ton of press.
Make huge news. And also, they would have to, on the fly, change sketches and stuff. It would be very exciting, you know?
Completely.
Will Ferrell would have to jump in and, take my role.
Yeah.
And, Sherry O'Terry would have to be Burt Reynolds or something, you know? And then I thought, and then one writer said, I explained that to him, and he said, well, you're saying, like, you're going to do something that's going to be good for SNL, and then it's going to be really bad for you, and you could be just walking out of show business if you do that.
I had this thing that's along the same lines, and I think it's groundbreaking. I think it would be interesting, and you're right. It would force. Thanks, Jake.
It would make it live.
Thanks for not seeing me when I was at Royal Oak out there. Appreciate that.
Oh, Adam, you got to come again. Come again. I'll see you.
Yeah. That's what you said last time. No, actually, I you're probably 16 and a half or 17. You were a little young when I was there last. But thanks. No, it would force SNL to kind of do what they claim to do in a certain sense, like a lot of improv sketch groups. Like, you'd really have to do it in real time. And
that would be very exciting.
And I think it would be really exciting. It would be totally groundbreaking. Uh-huh. And I bet it would even work. And I bet the audience would even like it once they caught on to it.
Yeah, that it was real.
I had this idea, Norm, and you tell me what you think of this. I love The Sopranos.
Right.
At a certain point when they weren't going to continue anymore, it was Gandolfini. Uh-huh. All the other cast members were like, we'd love to do season 28.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah.
Well,
that makes sense. Sure. I remember Big Pussy going at
you. Like as I prodded around a little and asked some of the guys when I'd interview them, they'd go, we would kind of like it. But we respect James. But you could tell, they wanted to do another season, you know, just like the guy from Wham wants to get back together, you know, like just like I want to do a man show tour with Jimmy.
Like the three guys from After MASH.
Right. Yeah.
Harry Potter, Gary Berghoff, and Jamie Klinger.
They'll kill themselves. Jimmy Farr. But now.
Yes.
This is your idea. This is my idea. I said Ted McGinley, the guy who would show up, the good-looking guy who would show up to Happy Days. And
he'd show up to every show at the end.
Yeah, Married with Children, even the reboot of The Love Boat.
Yeah.
I said, I would watch, and I think everyone would watch, we just swap out Gandolfini with McGinley, right? But we don't alter the scripts or anybody else around him. It's all the exact same dialogue. It's all the exact same thing. They call him the same thing. The wife responds. The kids, the same. They're at the club. The bada bing. It's all exactly the same as if you were just going and doing season 11. It's just Ted McGinley.
So it would become a comedy.
Well, it'd be a surreality. Yeah. Like you wouldn't. I don't know what it would be, but I would watch it, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. That's fascinating.
You wouldn't tell Ted to put on weight or do anything or even dress differently.
If you used whatever, I can't think of another guy, young Ed Asner or something, then that idea wouldn't work.
No, he'd just be him, and he'd be Tony, and everything would be exactly the same.
That would be, I would definitely think
that
would be
a season of that, wouldn't you?
Fascinating experiment, yes.
All right, somebody, I want you to still think about a day in the life of Norm MacDonald. Bryce, 25, West Hollywood.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Bryce.
Good.
Big fan of both of you. You're my comedy heroes.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you. We're mistaken for one another.
Yes, often. What do you do when you're mistaken? Because when I'm mistaken, I just go,
Yeah, I do, too.
Okay.
But
anyway, I thought this was the perfect opportunity to call you, now that you're both in the room together. I got fired about a month ago from a very well-paying gig for doing a Norm MacDonald joke.
Whoa.
Let's hear the joke.
What's the joke?
Well, I know how much Norm hates this, so I'm going to do the least insulting impression of him as I possibly can. I'm not going to do it.
You can do the Jay Moore shit. I don't care.
But basically, I hosted a show at Harry Potter World, which paid about $300 a day.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was obsessed with Norm.
Yeah.
So my stage manager and I would always just be talking about Norm MacDonald backstage. And the problem was on this day, we were having a lot of sound issues that were messing up with the speakers, our iPad, which controlled the entire master system.
So are you at Universal Studios at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. So I'm hosting a show in front of about 2,000 kids, all decked out in Harry Potter gear.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on stage, I introduced the dancers, I go, please welcome the beautiful ladies of the Beauxbatons Academy of Magic.
Oh, I see. What character are you supposed to be?
That was you, Norm.
I'm the host.
But are you an elf or something?
No. I'm dressed up as a Hogwarts student.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of hard to explain if you've never been there, but essentially it's a stunt and dance show, and I'm just the MC who goes out and introduces the different acts.
We call them gags, but go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I switch from the British accent when I go backstage, and not knowing that my microphone is still on. I make a joke that was based on an interview that Norm once had with Barbara Walters on The View, and I said, I looked at my stage manager, not knowing my microphone was on, and I said, hey Kyle, you know this Harry Potter guy? You know, he murdered a guy in cold blood back in 88 in a Texas bar fight. And then at that moment, you know, it had only been like 10 seconds, but that's a long 10 seconds if it's going out to an amusement park.
They let you go.
Well, here's the deal. Because it technically wasn't my fault, it was the sound
shut your mic.
Fault.
Yeah.
What they did was, I was magically moved from number one on the roster of seven people who hosted the show to number seven the very next day, and I haven't worked since.
Oh, you haven't worked since?
I haven't worked since.
Oh, I would feel bad, except you did that impression that you said you weren't going to do.
I said I wasn't going to do the annoying one.
That was the toned-down one?
I thought it was pretty toned down, Norm.
Well, let's hear the one that would be insulting.
Okay. I'm from Canada. I don't really
I don't really understand flossing, you know? All it does is give your, make your teeth a big mountain of blood.
No, you're right.
That is more annoying. You're right.
That is what people say.
Bryce,
that is what
with your kind of range.
You know what? People say that, and then the other guy goes, you sound exactly like him. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Bryce, well, we never sound the way that we think we sound, right?
Nothing's
that's true.
Nothing can hold you down if with that kind of range.
You think he's going to get work again?
You can do everything from Norm to super extremely annoying Norm. So there's no way you're not going to land on your feet in this town.
Exactly. I should say I never did a joke about, yeah. I know a joke you're referring to.
All right, so Norm, your day.
Just to explain what he was talking about, I went on The View and I said the president was a murderer. And just to annoy Barbara Walters, because I really dislike Barbara Walters.
The president.
Yes, I said, the president's a murderer. And she's like, you better watch yourself, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm in Russia or something.
Right.
So I'm like, what? He killed me? You don't know that? Like, I act like an idiot that didn't know that everybody didn't know that. But I really dislike Barbara Walters because Barbara Walters, they're like, she's the big, you know, the start of woman and all this. But she's the one that started this whole goddamn shit with the Kardashians and, you know what I mean, about fame being currency. She's the one.
I don't like her for other reasons, which is, and I can say this about many of the ladies who've graced the View stage, they don't have any discernible talent.
No.
Like, people look at her and go, she's a pioneer. She carried the torch for those who came. It's like, I've never fucking seen her say anything or do anything. Other than that, she's a great pioneer.
Right.
Like, she sits there, occasionally cracks herself up at her own super weak and lame joke, but mostly looks concerned and then asks overly obvious questions to whoever she's sitting in front of.
Yes.
She has tits and a labia, but other than that, I don't see her as possessing any particular talent. And as a matter of fact, if she was a dude, she'd never work a fucking day. I mean, she might be writing copy or something. But being completely dry.
I think you could say that on your show.
She's not funny at all. She's not even interesting.
You'd be thrown off anything if you ever said that outside this show.
And I know everyone on The View has been praying for her to leave for since day one.
Well, what about that Sherry Shepherd? How could you say, I didn't know I thought dinosaurs lived at the same time as as people. And then you go, why? Shouldn't they just fire her? Like,
find, Gary,
about her view?
Find my book. And 50 Years Will All Be Chicks, I wrote a little something about the ladies from The View. That Gary will look up. Yes, I did The View myself.
I always thought you thought they were a hoot.
Well, I bet your mom loves The View.
Joy Behar always reminded me of my aunt or something. You know what I mean? Like,
the one who thought she was funny.
Yeah.
Right. So you, Norm.
But when I did Saturday Night Live, she was in New York City. She would come into the club. She was before The View. And for some reason, she was some celebrity that could get a spot and bump people. I don't know what she did. She might have done radio or something. I don't know what she did.
Well, as a guy like yourself, and I talk about this all the time. Uh-huh. Like, I go, who has made the most with the least, and then who's made the least with the most?
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, I got, Drew Carey on my earners list of a guy who's never said anything funny that I'm aware of.
The most
and
the
has
least.
Made kajillions of dollars. And people can go, oh, why are you hating on him? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Every once in a while, every year they come with a list of celebrities who get paid the most, movie stars who don't earn. And then they go, Julia Roberts commands $27 million a picture, yet her films fail at the box office. And everyone's like, why are they hating on Julia? And it's like, wait a minute, she's the smartest one in the group.
Right.
What you don't want to be the one who gets $80 and the movie makes $200 million.
Yeah.
You want to be the one who makes $27 million and the movie makes $11 million.
Well,
I'm complimenting Drew Carey.
Yes.
is what I'm saying. He's able to make
now. Would you
hundreds
put,
of millions of dollars
before
without,
the TV show?
Yes.
Wouldn't you put Jim Belushi in that category? Just an enormous amount of movies.
Yes. Like, and money and TV shows. Yes.
Yeah. He did a couple of movies a year. And none of them succeeded, and he kept getting movies.
TV shows everything else. So in terms of, and I think you agree with me, and again, it's not really a put-down. It's more you've made the most, and I don't even know if Drew Carey's not funny. I've just never heard him say anything that was funny while I was around.
I remember first seeing Drew Carey in the Improv, and there was another guy named Brian Haley, who also dressed as a Marine. And he also dressed in a gray suit. But, you know, Drew had these big glasses on, and I was like, what is that kind of costume act is this? And then when he went on stage, I go, this is a guy from the 50s? What is his act? I didn't understand. And then all of a sudden, boom, bang.
Right.
But Carson likes anointing him.
Did you laugh?
No. No. But okay. I like Drew as a person.
All right, Gary.
You
know,
this is what Drew does. Have you met Drew?
No.
Oh. He gets really close to your face.
Maybe I've met him.
He gets very close to your face, and he tells you jokes, like old jokes, and laughs at them.
I would assume he's a nice guy.
He's very nice.
And
except when you go to his house, and there's sex dolls that he has fucked, like sitting on chairs. And you're like, good Lord. And he invites you. You're like, no, I don't want to fuck up.
I know. I saw David Spade talking one up the other day. I said, this one's only 12 months old.
Gary, I say hand the phone or hand the book to Dawson, and Dawson will read it so you don't power through it.
But, did you read your own audiobook?
I had to, yes.
Yeah. It's hard, huh? I didn't know how to do it. Like, I was like, am I supposed to be an actor? Like, if a girl comes up, am I supposed to do a girl's voice?
You should have got that kid who got shit canned from Universal Studios to do your book. No one would know the difference.
That would have been funny.
All right. Let me tell you first about Simply Safe. Simply Safe. Oh, you ever have that nagging feeling?
Why don't they do that impression of you, if you and me are so similar?
When people do me, they start with a little Norm MacDonald.
Oh.
But then they go into the... See, here's my thing.
Yeah.
I have technical expertise in woodworking.
Yes.
But the people who do the impersonation of me don't have technical expertise. You know what I mean?
Right. And they don't study it to figure out what
No. So what they do is they go, meh, meh, plywood, meh, 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 meh. But they never can finish it off because they don't have the actual expertise in that.
Now, this is I don't know if you've ever heard my take on you, and you probably take this as an insult.
I don't
mean it as an insult, that I love Danny Rooney.
Andy Rooney.
And people would put him down. But then they did a show called 60 Minutes 2, and they tried to get hip guys. So they get Charles Grodin and P.J. O'Rourke.
Oh, right.
And they couldn't, these guys couldn't
do what Andy Rooney did.
They couldn't do what Andy Rooney did. And so then I thought, well, Adam could do it. Like 2 minutes, you know? You have an opinion on every subject. If a subject came up, and it's going to sound insulting, but your voice is almost like Andy Rooney's.
I've heard that. And he
heard that?
God bless him. He was a woodworker as well.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He can talk in 2 minutes. That's really hard to do. And you just have to have one strong opinion.
Right.
And you could do that, and that'd pay a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah, here's where the problem would be, Norm.
Yeah.
We'd be in I'd be going into my seventh one.
Yeah.
And I'd go into the producer's office, and I'd throw down my manuscript that I wrote, my page and a half, and the guy would look up and he'd go, "You can't do the blacks again. You did the last six on black people.
You
can't do seven, Adam. We're going to start to get..."
No, you save that for here.
Oh, okay. Save it. You save it for here.
Yeah.
No, I always, here's my lot in life.
Yeah.
I always thought to myself.
Because you want to make the most.
And I do all the time. I'd look at Andy Rooney and I'd always go, oh shit, I could do that.
Yeah.
But then I also pause and go, no one would ever ask me to do that in 200,000 years.
You gotta bust open the door, buddy. Don't fucking stay at home like a goddamn recluse. Get to Don Hewitt's office.
This is coming from the guy who doesn't own a learner's permit. Can
I had a learner's permit, but it fucking ran out.
Norm,
after 365 days.
The show that everyone wants to see is Adam Teaches Norm How to Drive.
Oh, yes. Remember that show?
We would crash the internet with that show. Now,
I'll do it.
Oh, please.
Last year, I wouldn't have done it.
I'm up for it.
Last year, I wouldn't have done it. But
why not last year?
But not no fucking car where you press the and it shoots up fat. None of that shit. I was in a fucking car, a Tesla, right, with my friend, wanted to buy a Tesla.
And you do a Burt Reynolds impersonation.
I know.
How dare you?
I know.
And you're in
Paul
a Tesla.
Newman,
no, but listen, Norm.
And the guy that drives the Tesla is an expert driver, so he's shooting through the streets full speed.
Not me.
You wouldn't.
No.
But do you do that in real life, though?
No.
You do that.
No,
you race cars.
I do, and so I get it out of my system.
But it does make you sick with fear, like when you... Do you know what I mean? That movement, just the speed?
No.
It doesn't, huh?
Well, in the race car, you get belted in with a six-way harness, so you feel like you're strapped in like an astronaut, so you can't go anywhere.
Right.
It's a weird feeling of security.
It is?
You're in a cage.
Security?
You're in a cage and you're strapped in six ways.
How often do you go? Do you go a lot to the...
I do about five events a year.
Oh, events. But you don't go by yourself just to practice.
No, I just go race, do a vintage race. But the
vintage race. Wow, that sounds cool.
It is cool, but here's what I'm saying.
So they give you the car?
No, I own the car.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And
now, what if you wrecked the car?
The cars can be insured on the way to the track and on the way home from the track and when it's parked in your garage, but not
on the track?
Not on the track. No.
Not on the track?
Not on the track.
Well, that's
so whatever
Edward
you destroy,
G. Robinson would
he would not be happy. No. But and so if you crash Paul Newman's $4.5 million car on the track, then you got to fix it. That's what
I'm saying.
This
car belonged to Paul Newman, the $4.5 million car.
Well, he raced it and won at Le Mans.
And you own it.
Well, not yet. I got to pay for it.
Holy
It's a long
Christ.
Story. I'll tell you what. Hold that thought.
But that's got magic in it because Paul Newman.
Norm, I got a bunch of cars I can show you with Paul Newman's DNA in it.
Really?
Yeah. But look, Norm, people say all the time, you and Norm. And I go, yeah, I'd do that. And I go, I'd do the show where I teach Norm how to drive. We put a couple of GoPros in a car. I take it easy.
Yeah. I think I said last time no.
No, you said yes.
But in a very, unbelievable way.
But this year you're saying yes.
Yeah, I'm saying yes in a more
why have you come around?
Way. Why have I come around? I don't know.
Why a year ago
maybe
would it's have
Paul
been
Newman?
No.
Maybe it was their discussion with Paul Newman.
Oh, I race his cars
and how he became a
four-time
racer.
National champion at age 47.
Yeah.
So. Now, well, you know what? I'll show you the documentary.
I'm damn near 47.
Well, yeah, if you just went back 6 years, you'd be 47. All right, I'll tell you what. Stifle yourself for 1 second, and then we'll get into this stuff. LifeLock, so much cyber insecurity. Russian hackers infiltrating U.S. power companies and attacking home routers. 340 million records exposed on a public server. Let's not let this happen to us, people. Hackers from around the world are getting more sophisticated. With your personal info and data breaches, criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, even buy property in your name. And once your credit gets screwed up, it's so hard to fix it. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and the devices that you can't always see are hacked into and you can't fix on your own. They know. It is the best. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents... Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, make sure as pro football season's kickoff draws ever closer that you are listening to the Dave Damashek football program, available wherever you get your podcasts. College football kicks off even before then. Ace Carolla, let's talk about all of it, shall we?
We shall. I just love this time of year. You know, a lot of it is based on it being way too hot, way too long where we live, and how sort of soul-crushing it is to, like, sort of deal with it all the time. And then, magically, the two greatest things happen almost simultaneously. It starts getting cooler outside, and football begins.
In the rest of the country, it is the only salvation, because I love autumn. It's the best of the four seasons for a number of reasons, except that it does remind you, what's on the other side? All right, you're going to get Thanksgiving, and then you'll get the holidays. But after that, long, cold winter awaits. At least we have football to distract us, because you're back to school at that point. It's about to get frigid cold out. And again, you just keep reverting back. At least we have football. What would we do without football? At least in L.A., it's usually sunny out come
October.
Speaking
of L.A., what are the Rams going to do this year?
Well, a lot of people are very high on this team, and Sean McVay does, in fact, seem to be the real deal. He is the boy genius, and they are loaded. That defense is loaded, as long as they get Aaron Donald in there and ready to go for regular season.
Rich Eisen, I spoke to a couple years ago about the coach, Rams coach, and he was like, that guy's unstoppable.
He is one of those a real deal guys. You know, yeah. A lot of guys, we talked about it earlier in the week, that there are guys out there that have one good year. And to be fair, Sean McVay as a head coach in his one season was dynamite. I guess he does need to do it again to validate that. But whereas certain guys get kissed into that genius club a little bit too quickly, Mike Martz comes to mind. You know, he was your beloved Rams, you know, whatever that was, greatest show on turf. They were great. And then he was the head man and they almost won a Super Bowl. And then he rode that for another 5-10 years. Genius. Well, then how come your offense isn't so brilliant?
I knew I was done with Jeff Fisher when I realized he wore those kinds of glasses that break apart in the middle. Because I don't get it. He's got the nay-stays. He's got the strap on the thing. It's around his neck. When you're done reading, then drop them down.
Right.
You do what Bob Dylan does with the harmonica. Like, when you're done with it, you just slide it down, and it stays there. You don't have to break the harmonica in half.
It's extra work.
Would Bob Dylan break his harmonica in half?
Who's got the time to reconnect the glasses every time you want to wear them?
What?
Touché.
What's purpose does this serve? Now it's hanging around your neck and it can fall off because it's no longer a circle anymore. You've just put a yoke around your neck.
To answer
your question.
You're a
beast of burden. Has it ever happened where somebody went, quick, put on those reading glasses? Hold on. They're in one piece. This is going to take a while. Like, what purpose? Why?
Things that seem like improvements at the time, and then you look back at them and you say, what is the wisdom of this? Button flies. Oh, button fly. Oh, that's hipper than the mere zipper. Yeah, until it's time to make water, and you're in a rush to do it, and you're accustomed to the zipper, and you get to the urinal just in time, and you're ready to pull that fly down in 0.2 seconds, and suddenly you realize, wait, I have three buttons to undo to access the wiener. I'm not going to make it. You know, same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
If you're not in the tribe and you still possess a prepubes, then the zipper can be dangerous. That's all. That's all I want to say. We have let's see. Dave Mason is online from BetOnlineAG.ag. BetOnline.ag. He's a sportsbook manager. Dave,
gentlemen,
did I pot him up? Oh, good. Hey. Football season is upon us, and we're all excited about it. What's the best part about football season for you, Dave?
Just the action. I mean, you know, come this July's in the sportsbook industry, July is so slow. I mean, this July is a little bit better with the World Cup, but still, you know, it's soccer. No offense to soccer fans. Baseball's great, but, you know, it gets such a long season. But once football comes in, I mean, so many different people, so many new people are coming to your site to sign up. So many guys you haven't seen since last February, the Super Bowl, are coming back to the site. So, I mean, the action just increases probably by, you know, eight to ten times of what it is in July. So, you know, that's when we make our most money, and then football is just geared towards betting so much with the one game a week. Sundays, Saturdays are so big, and then Monday Night Football. I mean, it's just so great. It's just perfect for betting, perfect for gambling.
What do you think is, I'm going to put this out to Dave, what do you think, and I'll preface it, what is the toughest event or sport or activity to handicap? I was sitting with a friend of mine the other day, another dad, and he said, I got a sure thing with the MMA fight coming up, Cody Garbrandt. Yeah, he's going up against
TJ Dillashaw.
He's like, Cody's gonna knock him out in the first round. And I said, TJ's tough. He's tough. And said, yeah, but that Cody's a phenom. He's an animal. And I said, I don't know. I here's my thing. It's like, I never root against the tenacious guys, the guys, the Daniel Cormiers of the world, the guys who, oh, he's undersized. He can't move. He's getting old. Like, yeah, but don't bet against the guys who can't lose. They just can't. They will themselves all the time. Anyway, he announced it was a sure thing, and he got TJ knocked out. Cody. So I laughed at
him. So what's the answer to that one, Dave?
But what, Dave, do you think is one of the easier sports and one of the tougher sports to handicap?
Well, I mean, it depends on your specialty. You know, it's like you bet what you know. It's speaking of MMA. That's my best sport. Not recently, but over the long haul, that's been my best sport. But you know, NFL is really tough. I mean, even though it's the most popular to bet, I mean, because there's so much information that the bookies have, that the odds guys have. I mean, we can put up those lines. We know those lines will be there for the next week so easily. So that the line is going to be a lot sharper. It's going to be a lot more correct than, let's say, a college football total when, you know, some directional school that you really don't know that well is playing, you know, like Arkansas State or something. You're going to put that odds up, but we don't know that it's Arkansas State inside and out. Yet some person from Arkansas might know that team inside and out, so they can take advantage of that. So the easiest for us from the bookmakers is something like NFL. I mean, that's the easiest for us to put up the odds, and it's going to be the sharpest odds, which translate probably the hardest for the
and baseball's the best. People, the sharps tell me that baseball is the one you want to is if you are a gambler, is that's the way to make your hay. True.
Yeah. Well, that has a lot to do with the dime lines. You know, well, not all books, but mostly online. Like, we have the best dime lines in the business. Dime lines, I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's like 10-cent juice instead of the standard 20-cent. Baseball, a lot of books offer that 10-cent juice, so it's a discount. So mathematically, it helps the player out. So over the long haul, that extra discount on the juice is going to help them win more or lose less. So that has a lot to do with MLB. But yeah, MLB is good, especially in August. August is always a drain for the sports books. This year hasn't been that bad, but typically, I mean, those favorites just keep cashing every August, and we always our numbers just usually red in August. This month it hasn't been too bad, but yeah, baseball is a good point. But that has a lot to do with that reduced juice dime lines.
I'm glad you are an MMA guy. I'll have a parting thought, which is I'm a genius because when John Jones' MMA fame was destroying everybody nonstop, I went and saw him fight at the Forum or Staples Center when he was like 19 or something. And I said to the guy next to me, big MMA guy I went with, I said, look, no one's ever going to beat John Jones, but John Jones may beat himself. No one has the ability he has, and no one's going to get in the ring. And if he trains and he stays clean and he doesn't get involved with the law or substances or bad relationships, or if he just ran his life like the great Randy White did of the Dallas fame, you know, just straight and narrow right down. He lived on a ranch, you know, got his exercise stacking hay bales or something. White. If he went to Randy White, no, if he did that, he will be 70-0 and just retire when he's 40, but he can undo himself. And John Jones has undone himself. Do you think he'll be back?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with Assad? I hear whispers that he'll come back, or and his suspension will get overturned. I think he'll be back. He's still young. I think it depends on how long his suspension is. But no, you're 100% right. I mean, he's the best talent of all time. The guy's a freak. And how he can get his body weight down to 205, I mean, that's his biggest asset. Is this, he's so – not only is he talented, but he's so big in there that he has that reach and no one can touch him. And he's so skilled. You know, it's a shame because he's the one that should have went up to heavyweight and had those super fights at heavyweight. But he never wanted to do that. That kind of tells you a little bit about him too, I think.
Well, he's a hero to me because I have skinny calves, and anybody who excels athletically with no calves is a hero to me. Mm. You know what I mean? Like when you see you talk to those people and they go, like a young woman of color, she sees Michelle Obama in the White House and she can dream one day. She may not get there, but she can dream. You know what I mean?
I'm going to put a list together for you. The no calves all-stars.
I mean, I see a guy with skinny calves kicking ass in the octagon. I go, maybe one day. You know, like that young woman of color. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I think Jared Goff is a little slight in the calf department. Maybe he's somebody to get behind.
Thanks for checking in, Dave. BetOnline.ag is where you go. Because he has no calves, and he kicks
You're right.
Literally
about that.
Kicks the
George
shit out
Gervin
of everybody.
Comes to mind.
With no calves.
The Iceman.
There should be a Mount Rushmore, no calves.
All right, I'm going to work on that for you. I will tell you, the Rams and Chargers, though, if you're an L.A. football fan, you're in good shape because those two teams might play in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
It could happen.
Football season is almost here. And by the way, if you want to get a little betting going on, you go to betonline.ag and use a promo code podcast1. Get 50% off. Sign up, and you get a 50% off sign-up bonus. So you get the 50% toward your first bet. BetOnline.ag is where you go. All right, what else you got, Shaq?
Yeah, that's the buzz right now. It's fascinating to think that a city, the second biggest in these United States, that didn't have football for 20 years, suddenly now... I didn't think it was going to happen this fast, but really, there are a lot of people out there that would pick the Rams. They're not my pick out of the NFC necessarily, but it's hard to imagine them not being very good this season. I love the Chargers. That's the most loaded team in the AFC. If they can just once stay healthy, they've already lost two key pieces, but still, they are loaded. As long as Old Man Rivers doesn't fall off a cliff before the season, he's been so good for so many years on mediocre rosters. This could be the year that the Chargers finally get past the Patriots and get to the Super Bowl.
Well, I just downloaded Rivers' rap album. He just came out with the rap album. He's unbelievable.
Rap?
Oh,
Philip
yeah.
Rivers.
Oh yeah,
father of many.
Oh Joe, yeah,
that
yeah.
guy. The mm-hmm. the guy from the Deep South somewhere. That guy is a rap
oh,
album.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
The guy with the bolo tie.
Oh. No, different guy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Anyway, so that clears
sorry.
This up.
Sorry. Yeah, where's a polo tie? Because, you know, when you live in L.A., you have to have something you could choke yourself out with.
No, it made much more sense when he was in San Diego, Adam.
Right, you're right. Yeah, by the beach with the polo tie. Sometimes you just put on the trunks and the polo tie and you just hit the surf. What makes less sense? Jeff Fisher's glasses that break apart? And on the subject of things that go around your neck that should never be around your neck. The bolo uh-huh. tie?
Right.
This is a strap of, a piece of jerky that someone twisted up into a bead and put it around my neck. And then I got a huge thing of turquoise that's shaped like Texas. And I slide it up and I choke myself out because, you know, when you're barbecuing, you want to be uncomfortable, you know? or line dancing, you want to be uncomfortable. Or Jeff Fisher and his break-apart glasses for no reason whatsoever.
I'm going to go with the latter here because I think you're right, Ace, that I assume the bolo tie is purely a fashion choice. And maybe you don't like it, maybe you do. That's an aesthetic choice. The break-apart glasses seem like, oh, look, your life's about to get way easier. And in fact, you've just added a step to your life.
Write this down, Gary. Break apart bolo ties. Because you're leaving money on the table. I could have sold a few units to Fisher and Rivers with this thing. You know what I mean? Tired of looping it around your neck and having to draw that thing up and suck it down and make sure it's sitting right on the counter to break apart.
I wouldn't mind seeing you become a bolo tie guy just for football season. Think about
you.
It. Break
okay.
apart bolo guy.
I'll give that some thought. Do they have clip-on bolos or do they all go around the neck? All right, let me tell you about the MedMen. Today's cannabis consumer. Everyone and everywhere. You don't need any labels anymore. Teachers, executives, parents. You can, they're called customers at MedMen. There's something for everyone over there, whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar with it. They've got lotions, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info. And red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable puts you at ease. Check out one of their 14, or check out all of their 14 retail locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, home of the bolo, San Diego, Dave's right. Or visit them online. Go to MedMen.com, find the store nearest you, or if you have low self-esteem, you find one that's across town. But I'd go with the one nearest you at MedMen.com. That's MedMen.com, right, Gary?
Right. For our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
Very nice. A fine week of hot sports talk for you here on Podcast One Sports. So we'll talk to you on the other side of the weekend. And by then, we'll be 2 days closer to regular season. NFL football being upon us. Can't wait for that. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out. Good sports.